Those of us in this audience who are Christians are a member of the spiritual body of Christ, the church that Jesus promised that He would build upon the truth confessed by Peter when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is one of the greatest proclamations that has ever been made on this earth. But it was not the first proclamation regarding the church and the establishment of the church or the origin of the church that would belong to Christ. I want you to read a scripture with me that is more than 700 years before that time. Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah to chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to read two verses from this great chapter. Then we're going to the book of Micah, and there we will read another statement about the establishment of the Lord's church, and it will lead us to a point that I want to give great emphasis to in our study today. Read with me the words of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, when he was given this revelation from God. "It shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, 'Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" I suggest if you make notes in your Bible that there in verse 3, you underscore or circle that word teach, because the call is, let us go up to that mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, and there be taught in His ways. Now turn over to the book of Micah. The book of Micah, right after that great book of Jonah, which we know about. We don't do as much reading, it seems, from Micah, but yet in Micah there is also a great declaration that we need to understand as God has given to us this record of the prophecy of Micah. Micah was one of those in the 8th century before Jesus came to the earth. That means that he, along with Isaiah, wrote this in prophecy more than 700 years before the church was actually begun. But now I'm going to emphasize something again as we read from Micah chapter 4. "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" Centuries later, in the city of Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter and the other apostles, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, spake in tongues that they had never studied or spoken before. But God enabled them to do that in order to communicate the gospel, and the gospel was proclaimed there in the city of Jerusalem, just as this prophesied. from the city of Jerusalem went forth that proclamation of the gospel. And both of these prophecies from Isaiah and from Micah are prophecies that establish a truth that I want to state to you just as deliberately as I possibly can. Listen to it carefully. It truly teaches us that Christianity is a taught religion. Christianity is a learned religion. There are those in the world who want to have some exhilarating experience, and sometimes people will get up and testify and say, oh, I was just going along with my day, and then all of a sudden I had this great feeling that came over me, and they claim that it was their experience of salvation. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches to this point, that in the process of becoming a Christian, the mind of man is involved from beginning to end. And then when one becomes a Christian, in the process of living the Christian life and becoming stronger in faith and stronger in service to God, the mind is involved. Let us go forth, the prophecy was, to the mountain, Jerusalem sitting on that Mount Moriah, and there where the temple had been from all the way back into the Old Testament days, from there went forth that word of the Lord, and there the teaching began. Now then, are you listening? When Jesus came to this earth, when Jesus came to be the Messiah, and He lived and preached and taught the people about Himself and about God and about God's will, as He closed His ministry on this earth, He said to His apostles, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And let me repeat it with emphasis, greater emphasis on a word. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. There are people in the world who do not know the truth about Jesus. There are people in the world who do not know the gospel. Jesus commissioned His apostles to go and teach those people about Him and about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then He said, after you teach them and you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the teaching process continues. I repeat, the teaching process continues. It doesn't end with the baptism. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 2. On that day of Pentecost to which I made earlier reference, the Bible records for us in this chapter the sermon that the Apostle Peter preached on that day from the city of Jerusalem. Beginning at verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, stop reading for just a moment and note that word heart. And not, it's not talking about the pump in your chest that pumps the blood through your body. It's talking about man's mind, his spiritual heart. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, get the teaching now. He's teaching them. He's instructing them. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Those people were taught that they were sinners. They were then convicted by what they were taught. They then, with a good attitude, said, tell us what to do. And Peter instructed them about what to do, and they did it. And about 3,000 souls were added that day. They were added to the church, verse 47 says. The Lord added them to the church. So those who heard the gospel, being instructed in the truth of the gospel, believed and obeyed that gospel, they were saved from their sins, they were added to the church. Now listen carefully. I'm going to ask you a question. After they heard the truth, after they were told how to be saved, after they were baptized, and after they were added to the church, what is the first statement about those people after becoming Christians? It's in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, meaning teaching. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. In the process of learning the gospel, they were taught. In the process then of becoming Christians, they were taught. In the process of being baptized, they had their sins washed away. As they were instructed, and they were saved and added to the church. Then as Christians, as they continued in the process of growing as Christians and learning what they needed to know, they were taught that which the apostles taught. I repeat, in the process of becoming a Christian, in the process of living as a Christian, the mind, the heart of man is involved. Someone might come up to a preacher, as some have done to me before in previous years, and say, preacher, you just stepped all over my toes today. And I will look at them and say, well, I missed my mark. I was aiming for your mind, your heart. And it is not my purpose, it is not my design, it is not my prayer when I preach to work people up emotionally. That's not my purpose. My design, my purpose is to teach from God's Word and help you in your mind to know, to understand the truth of the gospel about how to live as a Christian, how to be a Christian, and then carry out that which you have learned. They heard, they were taught, and they obeyed. Turn over to the 8th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 8. Here is a record of a man who was from Ethiopia. He had been to Jerusalem to worship, and by the providence of God, a minister of the gospel came to him as he was returning home, riding in his chariot, and he was reading the scriptures. Now, I want you to notice something as we begin our reading of this account. Verse 27, he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, that is, the minister goes, this eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, God was guiding him in his providential care, and he said, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. Now, what those words in verses 32 and 33 are, is a part of the prophecy about Jesus from Isaiah 53. So, he reads this, the minister hears him, and the eunuch, verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? He's wanting information. He needs to be taught. He needs to be instructed. So verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chair to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. There's a marvelous account of this process of becoming a Christian. Here's a man who's religious. He's reading the scriptures, but by his own admission, he didn't understand what he was reading. And God, through his providential care, guided this minister of the gospel to him to instruct him. And when he did instruct him, he then learned about Jesus, and he learned about being baptized. And so as they were riding along, he saw water, and he said, here's some water. What's keeping me from being baptized? And note Philip's answer. He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When one makes the confession of faith that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, he needs to say that from his mind, from his heart, with a conviction, with no doubt in his mind. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I repeat, in the process of becoming a Christian, the mind of man is to be involved. He's supposed to know who Jesus is. He needs to know of the love of God and the grace of God. He needs to know that Jesus came to be the atonement for his sins, and that Jesus would die on the cross so that he could have a forgiveness of his sins. He needs to know those things. He needs to understand those things. That's what gospel preaching and teaching is all about, to help people to understand those things. And might I say, with due care for all of us, those of us who have already heard and learned that need to be reminded of it. That's why we're here. And in our actions of worship, the mind has to be engaged. The Lord's Supper. What was it that Jesus taught in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and 25? This do ye in remembrance of me. Well, how can you do it in remembrance of him if your mind's not engaged? We're going to partake of that Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. Jesus said, don't be thinking about yesterday or last night or tomorrow or next week or where you're going to be a week from now. Think about where you are right now. Think about what happened on a cross and who that was on that cross and why he was on that cross. In answer to that question, why? I'll stand here and tell you I'm the reason. Do you understand that about yourself? You and I and our sinfulness are the reason he went to the cross. And according to the teaching of God's Word, if we eat that little piece of unleavened bread and drink that bit of grape juice, and we don't even think about Jesus, or we don't even think about the cross, and we don't think about our sins, it was wasted time. It's not worship. But backing up to the beginning of that process of becoming a Christian, when one goes into the water, he's not in there to get wet. He's not in there to take a bath. He's in there to have his sins washed away, symbolically by the water being a purifying agent, and it washes away his sins as God cleanses him through his mercy and grace. And for his baptism to be like God designed it, that's what he's thinking about. When I come up out of this water, my sins are gone. They shall all be taught. That's what Bible classes are about. That's what devotionals are about. That's what preaching and teaching is about. That's what your personal reading of the Scriptures is about. To be taught. To learn. And from the beginning, in becoming a Christian, and then living as a Christian until your death, the mind is to be involved. Open your songbooks, please, to the number that has been announced. And we are going to sing this to encourage and invite those who are not Christians to become Christians. If you realize that you are lost in your sin and you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, then do as the Lord teaches you. Repent from your sins, confess your faith in Him, and be baptized in His name, and have your sins washed away. If we could assist you in any way, Brandon will be here, I'll be here, we'll be glad to help you. Come while we stand and sing.